Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned.
My victory is getting my life back.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The mega spending and budget bill back in a House committee after a tie-breaking vote in the Senate. ABC's Jay O'Brien on what's next.
We are not done with this bill yet. Now that it is cleared through the Senate, albeit by that slim margin, the vice president having to come in and break the tie, it goes back to the House, where this bill, because of some attendance issues not long ago, a little over a month ago, passed out of that chamber by just one vote. And we have already heard from more than a dozen House Republicans, including the ultra-conservative House Freedom Caucus, who say they don't like the way that this bill was changed.
President Trump, in a social media post, says he will visit Iowa later this week, kicking off a celebration for America's 250th anniversary. 4th of July travel expected to be record-setting at airports and out on the roads. Weather already hampering flights this week. More than 900 cancellations nationwide just today. This is ABC News. The man accused of killing four University of Idaho students in 2022 has now agreed to plead guilty and admit to all of his crimes. ABC's Alex Stone is at Ada County Courthouse in Boise, Idaho, with more.
On Wednesday, Brian Koberger is expected to walk into this courthouse and change his plea to guilty under a deal with prosecutors that'll get him four consecutive life terms in prison, but he will avoid the death penalty. Steve Gonsalves' daughter, Kaylee, was one of the victims. He does not like the deal.
We were not prepared for this. We had no idea that this was going to happen.
With the deal and no trial, the families may never find out details of the crime, like a motive and what happened to the murder weapon. Alex Stone, ABC News, Boise, Idaho.
Off Mexico's Pacific coast, Hurricane Flossie has now strengthened into a Category 2 storm. It's the latest system in the Pacific. Earlier this week, Tropical Storm Barry made landfall in central Mexico. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Firefighters from several Washington County departments responded to a train derailment and diesel spill Monday morning in Hartford. Hartford Fire Rescue Chief Tony Burghardt says three Wisconsin Southern engines and 19 of 50 cars being pulled overturned.
So there's approximately several thousand gallons of diesel fuel that have spilled into the ground.
There's also a nitrous oxide tank that had crashed and the outside cracked off of, but the tank has not leaked.
Burgard says the three Wisconsin Southern crew members on board the train walked away with minor injuries. There were no other injuries and no evacuations at nearby homes or businesses. Following the decision by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee to not fully fund the Department of Justice's Victim Services budget, advocates are calling for full funding. Office of Crime Victim Services Executive Director Shira Phelps.
Without adequate funding, local programs will be forced to lay off staff, reduce hours and programming, or close entirely. Survivors will lose crisis counseling, emergency shelter, legal help, and life-saving programs. Imagine fleeing your abuser and the shelter doors are locked.
DOJ requested $67.8 million, but JFC voted to include only $20 million in the first year of the biennium. Phelps and other advocates joined Attorney General Josh Call for a Monday press conference. A Madison man accused of violating sanctions against Russia has reached a plea deal in federal court.
The Wisconsin State Journal reports federal prosecutors accused Andrew Pogosin of selling 8 pieces of scientific equipment to Russian buyers. Pogosin allegedly tried to mask those sales by claiming they were going to other Eastern European countries. The plea deal says at least one of those pieces of equipment made it to a branch of the Russian military that creates chemical weapons. Under the deal, Pogosin faces a maximum of 10 years in prison for the most serious charges of smuggling. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Don't miss it. Don't even be late for the 2025 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 9th through the 13th in Chippewa Falls. It's everything you love. Delicious food, wild rides, free attractions, and barnyard favorites. Check out Lion and Kugel's main stage with Montgomery Gentry featuring Eddie Montgomery, Hairball, Flo Rida, and Foreigner. Get your tickets now at NWSFA.com. We'll see you at the fair.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny the rest of today. Temperatures in the low 80s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 63. Sunshine and 87 for Wednesday. Some afternoon showers and storms possible. For Wednesday night, scattered storms and a low of 65. High near 85 on Thursday. For the 4th of July, mostly sunny with a high around 88. Right now, it's 82.
This is AOA, produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome in. Good to have you with us for AOA, Agriculture of America, once again here today as we have a lot to talk about, issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We'll talk markets in just a moment with Kyle Bumstead from Allendale. USDA announcing they are reopening the southern border amid the New World screwworm issues. It's going to be a phased reopening. We're going to talk about that and some of the initial market reaction in the cattle complex here in just a second. In segment two, it's our monthly conversation with the team at Clean Fuels Alliance America. A lot to catch up in terms of biofuel and ethanol related news, biodiesel. Donnell Rehagen with Clean Fuels Alliance America will join us. In segment three, we'll talk about some of the latest equipment trends and news with Andy Campbell from Tractor Zoom. And then at the end of the show, in segment four, kochia has been found in Missouri. Typically, kochia is something we hear about in the Northern Plains and other regions, but it has made its way to Missouri. Kevin Bradley with the University of Missouri will join us to tell us more. That's coming up in just a little bit. Again, let's get things started and talk markets. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale joins us here on AOA. Kyle, good to have you back. And your reaction to this announcement from the USDA on Monday afternoon, they're going to do a phased reopening of the southern border. It sounds like that's going to start taking place here just a couple of a little over a week, July 7th. Looks like markets reacting a little bit lower initially anyway, Kyle.
Yeah, that's what they say it's going to open, but we've kind of been through this here before. We've seen announcements where they're closing it, going to open it, closing it, going to open it. So I don't know if this is more of we've got this thing under control or if it's a political move or what it is, don't know. But initially here, we got August feeder cattle down $4.25 around this 306.42 area. And it looks to me like there's somewhat of a knee-jerk here going on. However, if we hold this 304 area going home, that's going to look good. Our low today so far has been 304.57. We haven't traded steady money yet with yesterday's close. And I also have to keep in mind that today is Tuesday. And last Tuesday, we closed this August feeder cattle contract at 305.67. We're at 306.32, 306.40 area. So we are still higher week to week, Tuesday to Tuesday. So we're going to be looking to see what those funds did here. And obviously, with the being holiday week, we won't know that information until Monday when they release that commitments traders report. But, you know, we are seeing some sell-off here. It looks like there's a little bit of light commercial sell pressure here as far as the feeder cattle spreads go. With that August losing ground, losing 10 cents to the September losing about 10 cents to the October as well. Not near as much commercial pressure as I thought there was going to be, but still a little bit of commercial pressure nonetheless. So folks are just kind of, you know, waiting to see how many cattle actually come across here so we get kind of a count on them and, you know, see if this actually does come to fruition here next week.
It has kind of been an interesting trend I've noticed the last several Tuesdays in the cattle complex, and you kind of pointed to it that funds, you know, as they're wrapping up their week to week trade, we've been seeing a fair amount of liquidation, it feels like, in futures, you know, every Tuesday, and then the market kind of finds its way back a little bit as we go through the next couple of sessions. I mean, have you noticed that trend the last, say, month or so, Kyle?
I have, yes. And a lot of folks are pointing that the open interest has really seen a big decline, but we really haven't seen that much of a decline in open interest in as far as this cattle complex as a whole. So far, it tells me that these longer-term funds, non-commercials, Watson, Algos, whatever you want to call them, they're still entrenched in their long positions. They're not getting out just yet. So we start to see some bigger open interest changes, then, yeah, I'm going to start getting a little bit more nervous about how much further down we can go. Now, looking at the charts, though, I mean, we've still got a gap up here in this August live cattle contract around this 216.72 area. We're trading at 211.37. Our high's been 213.62. We opened at 212.02. So we haven't seen any cash bids or offers yet here so far this week. Now, I say that, and I just saw a 223 bid by a major here in central Nebraska. So we'll have to see if anything comes of that. But from the looks of it here, we've got a shortened kill week this week. We've also been dealing or coming off the heels of that Amarillo shutdown down there, or talking about the shutdown in Amarillo. But a lot of folks were talking about, oh, they're shutting this plant down for long term. They were still open here yesterday. They're still open today. I know that was getting passed around how they were going to be locked up and dark here this week, but they are still going. So even if they were, we've got less cattle out there. And so they move some cattle around. We're just going to make some other plants more efficient, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. So it's really not that big a deal if we were to shut one of them down, because we're killing less cattle anyway, looking at that year over year slaughter pace.
With that June live cattle contract going off the board, and I know it was at a pretty sizable premium here to the August. I mean, could this be a turning point maybe in these markets where cash maybe starts to, you know, kind of come back down, or futures maybe doesn't run up to that where that June contract went off the board? I mean, could we start to see some convergence finally here between cash and futures, Kyle?
It is completely possible, and they said that about April, too, and it took a long time, but June finally got up there, too, towards expiration. June finally did start to come together, get up there towards the cash. So I'm not ruling anything out at this point in time. I'm just going to keep an open mind, as it is a Tuesday here, and we just got August contract now as the cash. So, you know, if this 223 does come to fruition here this week, you're trading here at 211, so you've got a, you know, $12, $11.50 to $12 discount here, futures under the cash. So that does leave some room for both of them to kind of work together where the futures could come up and the cash could come down a little bit. Now, one of the main drivers, obviously, is going to be that box beef market. A lot of folks are saying that box beef is just going to take a tumble here after the fourth. Said that after Memorial Day, too, only for us to go on and make new highs here and box beef here during the month of June. So here we are in July. I know we do have a weaker demand period ahead of us here in this box beef market, so that is definitely going to be on the minds of a lot of people as well.
Got about 90 seconds. Your thoughts over in the grain and oilseed complex. I know we had all the USDA estimates out on Monday and really you know, met with so much fanfare and didn't get any sizable changes. And here we have quarter beans down moderately on Tuesday, wheat's up a little bit. I mean, any notes for you in this grain complex?
Grains, I'm still looking at that Deist of March carry in the corn, the Deist of July carry out there in the corn as well. We're sitting at about 15 and three quarters to 16 cents carry out there, so that's not bullish. As far as that goes, the commercials think that this crop is getting bigger. They're not going to have to rush out and try to buy it and source it through the futures. They're just going to wait and let it come to town and do their buy-in or do their work when it finally does come to town. Same kind of thing in the beans here. That Nova Jan spreads, 15 and three quarters to 16 cents as well as the Nova to July spread. That thing has been gaining some ground as well, too, where it's been widening out. And so when I'm looking at that, I'm saying, okay, well, let's look at the carry. That's the carry in the market, and it's kind of paying us to be hedged. And then if you've got those HTAs out there, then this could be an opportunity here for you to take a look at that. And maybe we roll out and we're short out there in the March contract as far as the corn goes from a higher level. And same thing in the soybeans. I mean, you could pick up 16 cents on the roll in both of those. If you've got orders sitting there, there's a potential those get hit. And most folks that I know have got more corn in the bin anyway. They're going to be selling some off the combine, yes, but a lot of them are going to stick it in the bin, look for that appreciation. So use that to your advantage when these spreads get widened out like that. And, use that as part of your marketing tool there. And if you think it's going to be, if you think it's done going down, then a person could roll those HTAs and maybe look at some sort of an option strategy here to, offset that spread or offset the basis or something like that if it does start to go up.
Always remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Good to hear from you again on AOA. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America as we continue on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, there's a lot going on in the clean fuels, biofuels space right now. We've been tracking various headlines over the last several weeks, and still keeping our eyes on more potential news that could be happening here in the next few days, weeks, months ahead. Let's talk about some of the latest. Joining us now, he is the CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America. Donnell Rehagen is with us here on AOA. Donnell, it's good to hear from you again. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Jesse. Thanks.
I'm sure you have been staying pretty busy amid all of the news that has been out there as of late. And I think a good spot for us to start, of course, was a couple weeks ago, EPA's 2026-27 RFS rule proposal. Sounded like a lot of good came out of that for the biofuel, ethanol, and clean fuels industry.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jesse. It's probably what we've been asking for years and years, if not decades, and that's an administration and an EPA that acknowledges what our industry can do and wants to encourage our industry to be everything it can be. We found what's been proposed for 2026 is an RVO that'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5.6 billion gallons. And to give you some perspective, our RVO for this year is 3.3 billion gallons. So a massive step up, and that's what we are asking the EPA to do, to recognize and acknowledge that our industry has built itself out over the last 5 years. We're more than double the size we were in 2020. To acknowledge that and to acknowledge what our feedstock suppliers, particularly the soybean industry, has been doing with expanding crush, acknowledging the availability of all the feedstocks we need, and to turn this industry on. That's exactly what they're proposing to do.
Oh, and I know coupled up with all of this is the biomass-based diesel volumes in here as well. And when you look at those, and you mentioned some of that infrastructure that has grown, a lot of opportunity for continued expansion and growth throughout the industry, Donnell.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're producing biodiesel, we're producing renewable diesel, we're producing sustainable aviation fuel. This industry is very, very different than it was for sure 10 years ago, when we saw very little renewable diesel production, a lot of biodiesel production, and no sustainable aviation fuel production. So as the industry has continued to evolve and the demand for cleaner fuels has continued to grow, we have not found the RVOs, the RFS, to keep up with that. And so this is the first time an administration has sort of really taken a solid look at the marketplace and the industry and saw things the way we've seen them. And so we're really, really excited about what 2026 can bring for our industry.
What is the next step from here? Now that we have the 2026-27 RFS rule proposal, what's going to be the next milestone in front of the industry? What are you going to be watching at Clean Fuels as we move forward with this administration and the EPA?
Well, we need to see this proposal be finalized, right? So EPA is holding a hearing next Tuesday. They'll be taking public comments. That we at Clean Fuels are coordinating a number of folks to make some remarks there, encouraging the EPA to kind of a way to approach that and to get these numbers finalized. And they'll try to get that finalized, in fact, before October 31st for 2026. So the sooner the better. You know, those signals have been very strong out of this proposal, but you know, we need to see that certainty. Then, Jesse, our attention is going to turn, as it always does, to what is this administration, what's EPA going to do with small refinery exemptions? There are billions of gallons of requested exemptions, and we need to make sure that those SREs are not granted in such a way that it totally undermines this volume increase we've seen. So lots of work ahead of us still, but I feel really good about where things are.
And that's a great point you brought up with the SREs. There's been some whisper rumor in the industry that, okay, we got a very favorable, you know, proposal here for RVOs and more, but could the administration maybe undercut that a little bit depending on what they do with the small refinery exemptions? I'm sure you've heard some of those whispers as well. I mean, anything you could share in terms of, has EPA made any indication of what they might do with SREs to the industry?
They have not been very, very clear about things. I mean, what we look back on is the last time President Trump was president and how his EPA handled SREs. And they came to the conclusion towards the end of his administration that if they were to grant SREs, that the proper thing to do would be to reallocate those volumes to the others and to make sure that those volumes in the RFS will remain as they were proposed. So we're hopeful that that's the way they would approach it. If SREs are necessary for small refiners, if you're going to grant those, just place those volumes back into the RFS and allow those volumes to be assumed within that volume. So that's what we're hopeful for. I mean, indications would seem to suggest that's the way they would approach it, but we just don't know. You know, they've come into a situation where there's a pileup of small refinery exemptions over the last 5, 6, 7 years that had not been taken care of previously. So they've kind of got that to deal with as well. So a lot on their plate, and we'll work closely with them to try to make sure it works out for the industry.
Donna Rehagen, CEO, Clean Fuels Alliance America, is with us here today on AOA. You mentioned sustainable aviation fuel earlier in the segment. I do want to ask you about where things stand there with 45Z. We're watching this go through the reconciliation process. I know it was in the House version, and it's in the Senate version as well. And obviously, we're waiting to see what happens here with the whole one big beautiful bill. But in terms of just that tax credit, seems like that is going to be extended. At least that's the indications I'm getting from Capitol Hill, Donnell.
Yeah, so 45Z, you know, which is the clean fuel production tax credit. So it's not just biodiesel. It's biodiesel, renewable diesel, SAF. It's renewable natural gas. It's ethanol. It's all of those clean fuels. It is being proposed to be extended through 2029. And so the original IRA had that 45Z provision through 2027. So we're very, very pleased to see Congress and hopefully the president has seen the benefit of our industry and the growth potential of our industry and wants to continue encouraging that. But specific to SAF, which is what you asked about, one of the things that we're seeing in this final bill as it's making its way through the voterama today, they're actually looking to strip that SAF credit back a bit. If you remember, the cap on it was $1.75 a gallon. And so what's being proposed right now is to strip that cap for SAF back to a dollar, which is consistent with biodiesel, renewable diesel, and the other fuels. So they're trying to find some parity. They're proposing some parity between SAF and basically on-road fuels as well. And so we'll see how that turns out.
It's going to be interesting to see with that voterama going on where this all lands. And I know we'll be watching for the final results and more conversations about it as it moves forward. I do want to ask you about this real quick, Donnell. We got just a minute or so. The BQ9000 website. This is something that Clean Fuels redesigned and launched here a few weeks ago. Can you talk about that a little bit? I think this is a very exciting and interesting redesign for this website for folks to get more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Our BQ9000 program has been very popular. It's been in place for almost 20 years now, which offers fuel producers, biodiesel producers specifically, the option to opt into a quality assurance program. And so we've seen that program grow over the years. Our biodiesel producers want to prove to everybody that they are quality producers. They produce a quality product that consumers can depend on. And so, again, it's a voluntary program, and the majority of our biodiesel producers in the United States are in that program. And so, yeah, we just tweaked the website up a little bit to try to make it easier for those who are participating in the program and those on the consuming end, fuel distributors and others, to learn about the program, who's in the program, and what that means to those commitments they're making to fuel quality. So, yeah, excited to have that out there and to be a much more usable mechanism for everybody involved.
You can go to bq-9000.org. That's bq-9000.org for more details there. Donnell, final thoughts. Anything else you are tracking at Clean Fuels Alliance America this month?
Well, just want to, again, thank our nation's farmers. This industry was built out of the U.S. soybean industry, and so they continue to invest in it, and they should take a lot of pride to think that we could be a 5 or 6 billion gallon industry, which is what the government now is asking of us over the coming years. It's an amazing development, and just shows the commitment and the fortitude that our nation's farmers had and the vision that they had 30 years ago to have an industry like this come about, and we're proud to be part of bringing their vision to reality.
Cleanfuels.org, cleanfuels.org. That's the website for Clean Fuels Alliance America. Their CEO, Donnell Rehagen. Always a pleasure, Donnell. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Donnell Rehagen again with Clean Fuels Alliance America joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the latest trends, some of the new data that is in the ag equipment market. It's a Tractor Zoom Tuesday with Andy Campbell, Director of Insights from Tractor Zoom. He joins us next here on AOA.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Weekly Crop Progress.
When you don't feel good now, you want to see a doctor now. At Amplify Health, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need, when you need it. We offer same-day in-person or video appointments with a primary care provider. That's family medicine, pediatrics, and internal medicine. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. Primary care from Amplify Health. A little empathy changes everything.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 35 to 1835. September down 30 to 1889. October down 22 to 19 even. November down 17 to 1868. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, triple-digit losses in live and feeder cattle markets after USDA announced that they would allow Mexican cattle imports back into the country as soon as July 5th. That as the trade spooked, along with the lower cash markets from last week. Meanwhile, hog markets also moving mostly lower due to lower cash prices and pork cutout values sharply lower as well. August live cattle down 217 to 211.70. August feeder cattle down 385 to 306.82. July hogs down $1.10 at 109. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets continue to move mostly lower as the markets, while oversold, the weather forecast, while turning warmer, looks to provide enough moisture to continue the corn crop to move along with development. Soybean futures have turned mixed as the markets became deeply oversold. Now, some of this was due to a big drop in the meal markets, but the oil markets are helping to support many of the soybean contracts. Wheat markets are higher. New crop corn down 4.25 to 4.21 1/4. New crop beans back to steady. From blazing heat to pounding rain, your crops are facing it all. In-season aerial applications are the perfect chance to apply fungicides and stress-reducing products that help your crops stay resilient. And don't forget the hay. Haymaker delivers the nutrients your forage needs for high-quality, healthy growth. Apply after cuttings 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 and set your fields up for success. Questions? Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401. Elsevia, they're here to help.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as AOA continues here today as we roll into the month of July. Let's get caught up on what is happening across the ag equipment space. And excited that we are making this into an official day on the show. we've kind of been doing this for the last year plus, where I'll reach out to Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom, and say, "Hey, Andy, I got a segment open, you know, this day or whatnot. Why don't you come join the show?" And we always have a good time. Well, now we're going to make it every first Tuesday of the month is dubbed Tractor Zoom Tuesday on AOA. So with that, Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom, it's good to have you back on the show, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Jesse, doing well, and I'm glad we can make this official. You know, I dated my wife for probably like 7 years before I proposed. So, you know, I've got a commitment issue. So I'm glad you really nailed me down here and said, we got to do something.
Well, and we've known each other since childhood, so maybe technically this courtship has happened since those early days in North Central Iowa.
Yeah, this has been running for 30, 40 plus years now.
No, it's exciting. We're happy to have this partnership with you and the team at Tractor Zoom. We always enjoy the work you guys do and really stay on top of some of the data and the analysis. So glad we could officially make it into a Tractor Zoom Tuesday here on AOA. Let's get caught up on things. I know last month we hit on utility tractors and four-wheel drives and combines. Any big changes in any of those categories before we talk about a few other things here this month?
You know, yeah, let's talk about combines, because there was a healthy amount of dealer auctions that happened in June. And, you know, I diced through all the data. You know, AgriVision had an auction, Kibble had some, Van Wall had some, all centered here in the Midwest. And a lot of them sold a lot of John Deere S-Series combines, S780s in particular. And when I diced up those, I looked at six different sales. The ones that were only a year or two old, so maybe three, 2022 models and sooner, they're hitting right at trend line. So pretty much what we saw in 24 and early in part of 25, the big differentiator was the older models. So if it was a 2020, 2019, you know, earlier, those started to really fall off. And I'm seeing that pattern across other model or other categories of equipment as well, that some of those older models that are sitting out there for a little bit longer, that part of the market is weakening. So, you know, take it for what you will, but we're seeing that within combines in June.
Anything else? Utility tractors, four-wheel drives, any changes to those markets at all?
I would say on the four-wheel drive side, the big thing that we talked about last time was just the aging supply that's out there. And that is true for four-wheel drives more so than almost any other type of category that's out there. So I think if you're looking for buys in the large pulling high horsepower tractors, they're certainly out there. And I think they should be out there for the remainder of the summer. It's just still such an oversupply issue on that, where a lot of the other categories are getting their overall supply, you know, at least managed a bit better. The one big thing I will say, looking at all this auction, and this will probably bleed into the categories we're talking about today, is that 2024, we saw a lot of farm equipment auctions early in the year. We're not seeing that pace so far this year. We're about 20% slower on the dealer auctions. And so if that pace continues throughout the rest of the summer, we probably won't have quite as great a deals across the board as what we saw last summer.
All right. Well, we're going to track those with you here as we work through the summer. I do want to switch gears and talk about something. We haven't talked about these a whole lot here, I don't think, in the last couple of months, but row crop tractors and row crop headers, as we get into the heart of the summer season, Let's start with the row crop tractor side. What are you tracking there this month, Andy?
Yeah. So the row crop tractors, you know, they don't have a huge seasonality, not like the headers do. And then we'll talk about that in a moment. So you'll see these sell throughout the year, but they're just a massive part of any operation. And also from a dealer standpoint, it's just a, you know, it can easily make up 50% of the inventory cost that's sitting on a dealer lot. So it's really important for us to work with our partners on how they manage that inventory. Overall, the supply across country has plateaued. You know, it's up maybe about 11% year over year, but that's nothing compared with the rate of increases that we were seeing. But from a auction value standpoint, if you're looking at some late model, lower hour row crop tractors, so I'm talking 300 to 425 horsepower tractors sitting somewhere between 500 and 1500 hours, we've seen those auction values drop almost 15% year over year. And you know, they're a little stronger in Q1 just because I think the corn market was a little bit stronger then, but they've fallen off, like I said, about 15% year over year, but it's not across the board. And that's probably the biggest caveat in a lot of these things. You almost have to pay attention to each model. So if you, for instance, look at the 8R370s, that supply is up 9% year over year, and we're seeing those values drop even faster. But you flip that script and you look at, you know, a more nuanced model like the 8R410X, that supply is already low and it's dropped year over year. Those values have increased at auction year over year. So when you get down to it, you really have to look at the specific model and say, okay, is the supply in oversupply? Is it dropping? And what effect is that having on price?
All right. And thinking about specific models and styles, what about row crop headers? Is there a differences or similarities there?
Well, I'll say when I looked at headers, this was brought up to me because we partner with a lot of different OEMs, manufacturers, and Drago is one of them that we've had the opportunity to work with. And so I started diving into this data, and it was interesting and almost counterintuitive, perplexing at the beginning, because supply is down actually 7%, but I'm seeing a ton of these things hit the auction market, way more than what I was expecting. And so usually when supply is down, price goes up, or at least it's steady. But what I've actually seen is auction values for 12 row headers, relatively newer, 10, 15 years or newer, the auction values have dropped almost 25% year over year. And dealer values, repricing on the dealer lots, that's also dropped pretty significantly. And usually those two don't happen when you get supply in check. You don't see prices drop. So I had to dive into the data a lot deeper to figure out what's going on. And it actually has to do with almost a year ago, a ton of those got traded in. They're working through the system, and there's just a huge, you know, call it a pig moving through the snake of these things that are going to be aged, going to be really old here in a couple months, that just need to get off of dealers' lots and need to move. And so the supply chain, the whole washout cycle, it's just not smooth right now. And I think we're still working through, as hard as it is to believe, some post-COVID supply chain disruptions. And especially with these headers, we're seeing a lot of older stuff that's going to probably come to auction here this summer.
We're talking with Andy Campbell from Tractor Zoom. Good stuff and things to watch here on the equipment market and at auctions. And, you know, thinking about this, I've been seeing a fair amount of auctions lately. And I'm wondering, let's spend some time on this here before we run out of time in the segment. What are some good things to know when looking for the value of your own equipment? Maybe you're not looking to do a full-on auction, but maybe you're looking to get rid of a piece of equipment or get something new, things of that nature. So, I mean, what are some good things to know when it comes to the value of your equipment?
Yeah, I would say even if you're not looking to auction something off right now, it is really important to just understand the value that you have in your farm, on your balance sheets. And one of the other things, whether you're selling at auction, whether you're going to buy, or whether you're trading in, it helps to understand the true value and not some skewed, you know, I saw one value that sold on auction time and I think it's now worth this. You have to have a pretty clear picture, because then you can have a good discussion with whoever the buyer or the seller is on the other side of that table, and it just helps the transaction go. So we just had a big webinar with dealers from all across the country. It's a huge event. We took a survey in there and we asked them, said, how, when you look at comparables, what do you look for? And over 50% of them said they're not looking at any auction or any dealer listings that's older than 6 months. So the recency of the data that you're looking at makes all the difference in the world. So don't be looking at stuff that's 2 years old. That's not relevant anymore. It really has to be about 6 months or newer. And then also watch out for statistics that can be misleading. One low or high value can really skew an overall average. So pulling out as close to model specific details as you can get and things that have happened in the last 6 months, that's going to help you narrow down on your equipment value a whole lot.
And I think about this too. I mean, at the end of the day, Andy, it comes down to what's a buyer going to pay for a piece of equipment? And I mean, you know, that's simple economics there at the end of the day, right?
It absolutely is. And then that gets to especially things where you can do upgrades, you know, sprayers now, but planters for sure, that what you put into a piece of equipment is what you valued it at. I would not expect to find another farmer just like you that's willing to value, you know, those upgrade kits per row just the same way you did. Everybody's a little different. And so it'll be what it's worth to them and not necessarily always what you put into it.
Andy, I know if folks want to stay up to date, they could easily do that. Take a look at a lot of data and more online, TractorZoom.com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. TractorZoom.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you can actually register accounts. All that stuff's for free. But I use that for our farm to track the value of our equipment. So then, you know, we've got all these pieces all over. I don't want to go in and do it constantly. So I can log all of our equipment in there, and then it just tracks it in real time. So I can go check the value, see if it's, you know, it was appreciating a couple of years ago, but now I can just watch it depreciate over time.
TractorZoom.com for more information. And with that, Director of Insights for TractorZoom, Andy Campbell, good to have you with us for a TractorZoom Tuesday on AOA. Andy, have a great 4th of July. We'll talk to you next month.
Sounds great, Jesse. Take care.
You as well. Take care. Andy Campbell with TractorZoom joining us here on Agriculture of America. Coming up next, before we close out the show, kochia has been found in Missouri. We're going to talk about that with Kevin Bradley from the University of Missouri. Coming up next on AOA.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You gotta dip your chicken strips.
Hey, this is Keani.
And this is Tabitha.
And a little thing we love about Chick-fil-A chicken strips
is all the different sauces we can dip them in. I like to line up all my favorite sauces so that in every bite, I have a different flavor. Then with the tenderness of the chicken, the juiciness of it, it's all there.
And for me, I like to mix my sauces so I get a little tang and I get a little sweetness all in one bite.
That's what makes it for me. Like, that's what does it for me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Program called Field Forward, brought to you by Pioneer. We'll be talking to Pioneer experts and farmers about current conditions and all things corn and soy. We'll discuss the latest agronomic insights, tips, and innovations. Join us on Thursdays for Field Forward, brought to you by Pioneer, or visit pioneer.com. Again, that's pioneer.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Get on board.
The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board.
Farmers and Ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
As we continue on Agriculture of America, we have learned that kochia has been found in northwestern Missouri. That's not something that you hear about every day, as kochia is typically something we found, say, in the Northern Plains, for instance. Let's get an update on this and talk more about it. Joining us now for a conversation, University of Missouri Extension weed scientist Kevin Bradley. Kevin, welcome to AOA. It's good to have you on the show with us. Hope all is well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about this finding of kochia. It sounds like it was found in a soybean field, again, in the northwest part of the state.
Yeah, Atchison County, northwest part of the state, Missouri River bottoms. And so for all of those reasons, I guess it's not terribly surprising, because Nebraska, Kansas, they have this weed. I've spent a number of years just trying to see if we're ever going to get it, hoping that we don't. And this is the first time I've ever seen in a soybean field in Missouri, or that it's been reported in a soybean field at all in this state. So it's not something we want, but at the same time, I guess not terribly surprising in that geography.
Well, and I know in terms of trying to fight kochia, it can be pretty tough. I know there could be some herbicide resistance and things of that nature when it comes to battling kochia, if I'm understanding it right.
Yeah, the other states that have it, they are well aware that there's numerous resistant biotypes, whether it's glyphosate resistance is fairly common. Of course, we're not really using dicamba over soybeans this season, but there are dicamba resistant kochia biotypes out there. There's some group 2 ALS resistant kochia as well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if what we have is probably, or what was found in Missouri was probably already got some kind of resistance in it.
So what should producers across the state, what do they need to be thinking about? What do they need to scout for when it comes to kochia, et cetera, et cetera? Is there anything they can do to help minimize the spread in their fields this growing season, as we assume that, you know, with kochia being able to spread so easily, we assume it's going to probably keep spreading. So, I mean, what do producers need to do from a scouting crop management standpoint here?
Yeah. Well, in that area of the state in particular, I think growers need to get educated, get an understanding of what it looks like. It is a very different looking weed plant than what we're used to seeing. And like I said, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if flooding or machinery, shared combines or whatever, brought that into that geography. I don't know what caused it to show up there, but that's my guess. But anyway, yes, growers all over the state should be vigilant, but I really think that growers in that portion of the state should be looking into what it looks like. You can Google and find images of it, just be scouting their fields, because the ones that we found they were probably already, you know, a couple foot and a half high or so, something like that. So there's not much you can do. Our recommendation was to rogue those out if at all possible, or go in and spot spray. But you don't want that thing producing seed, because that's where it's really going to gain a foothold and start spreading to other areas and other fields, is if we're not vigilant in eliminating it once you first see it.
And I know, too, my understanding is kochia can be a pretty significant yield robber if it's allowed to spread unchecked and unmanaged. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it is extremely competitive. We don't do this or talk about this as much as we used to, there was a time when we assigned competitive indices to every single weed, and our number one weed in the Midwest and in the state is water hemp, and it's no question that it's really bad. But the fact of the matter is, water hemp is really not all that competitive compared to kochia. Water hemp kind of gains its strength by having a whole lot of them in a small area, mm-hmm. But kochia, just one plant, is quite a bit more competitive than just one plant of water hemp. So it is something that can really affect our yields, and we don't need it, and we need to keep it in those other states where it is already established.
Well, I know folks, if they have questions, they should reach out to their local agronomist or their local Missouri Extension specialist. You can go to extension.missouri.edu for more information as well. Kevin, real quick, we have about a minute. Crop update across Missouri. Any notes for folks as we're working through the summer season here? How are things looking?
Not so great. It's just so variable and all over the board. That area I just mentioned actually has been droughty and is in some mild drought in Northwest. The rest of the rest of the state has been flooded or super wet, there's been replants and everything else. So I don't know if I've ever seen it just so variable in just this one state. We've obviously had those conditions different years, but we're getting them all in one year in different locations. So not the best, but we're looking good this week and last week, and pretty good forecast moving forward. So we have opportunities to recover.
University of Missouri Extension weed scientist Kevin Bradley. Kevin, thanks for joining us here on AOA. We appreciate the time, and have a happy 4th of July. Okay, Kevin?
Yeah, thanks.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Agriculture of America. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk markets with Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing. We'll hear from Cam Quarles with the National Potato Council. And it'll be the new episode of The Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on AOA.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our...
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but... what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. And 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A House committee has taken up the mega bill after it passed the Senate with Vice President J.D. Vance casting.